I do have a word for the Lord for you. We're going to finish up where we was at last week. Be looking at me, Nae-Nae. It's 12:07, Nae-Nae, so don't give me at least 15, 20 minutes before you get them eyes rolling. And the call to consecration is Romans 12 chapter. We're going to stay there at the first verse, and we're going to read. I told you last week we went down and dealt with the one body. Look at somebody and say, we all one body. It ain't about you no more. That's what we preached on last week. And today I'm going to preach on the number one reason why we do not commune together as one body. The problem, the biggest problem inside churches and way the devil is destroying the church inwardly, and then he planted a seed and the church destroyed itself. Do y'all know that the devil is not functioning? He planted a seed and he stands back and watch it grow. We all say the devil made me do it. No. The devil's moving. No. I'm a firm believer that the devil is not in church. I'm a firm believer that he cannot sit here in church because he hated when we give God the glory, because that's the job he used to do. But what I do believe that there's a seed that's been planted in some of us, and we are using the devil as an excuse for us doing what we want to do. So now you become the worker of him because that's what you want to do. Do y'all know there's people that loves confusion? We love drama, and most of all, we love attention. Woo! We're not happy unless chaos is all around us. Me, myself, oh my gosh, I can't handle it no more. I'm act so much more like my daddy every day. I need peace. I need quiet. I see my kids, how they act like I used to act, and I'm playing daddy's dick role now. Y'all get out of here. Leave me alone. They just talk just to be talking, arguing, just be arguing. And y'all ever deal with that in your household? Do you know we used to do the same thing? I remember me and my brothers, and then we had one TV, and we used to argue about the TV with the kids, all of it. Or this one, it was the one, getting back in my seat. Well, you didn't call get back. Yeah, I did call get back. No, you did. I ain't hear you. Yeah, you did. Yeah. So we arguing over a chair, this one right here, when there's all the rest of them up in the house. You arguing over one spot. Y'all ever did that? Leave me alone today. I got. I'm telling y'all. And I'm saying to myself, wow, Lord. And God said, you know why? You become immature. You want harmony. You want to see things flow together. You at the place in your life where you sick and tired because you tired of trying to do it yourself. I have you wore out because I don't want you to do it anymore. Do y'all understand that everything after the cross is supposed to flow and become easy to us? The beautiful part about it is it's not easy because we're not in the flow. Because we want everything before it's time. So now we are functioning against God's time for it to be formed in our life. I start to wait, I say, on the Lord. We want to obtain it. So God said, okay, I'll let you try to obtain it for the next year because I have a set time for it to come January of next year. But if you want to try to do it, I'm going to let you try to do it. So the reason why we're tired, we're doing things that God is not in. It's not that it's going to cause you to go to hell. It's just going to cause you to be tired for a year. And then when it releases it, you all are excited and happy and up to the level like you've done it all by yourself. When God looked and said, no, I already ordained for it to occur now, but I had to get you to a place where you stop trying to do it, that you just let it come when I say it for a time for it to come. I'm at a place where even with people in my life, I am learning to back away. You can think what you want to think. it doesn't matter anymore to me. So what I'm talking, or what God has called me to preach on today was the second part of this message. The reason why the body of Christ is dying is what he tried to get them all to come into the understanding of in the first three verses. I beg of you. I love that. I almost there. This is a, how many times do y'all think God pleaded and begged through a man of God for people to get themselves together? Can you comprehend? I'm begging here. God is using Apostle Paul to beg to the church. My God. Wow. In other words, what I'm about to say is so important that you got to grasp a hold of it in order for you to not live prosperously, but in order for you to survive. I can't even function and move with you unless you grab a hold to what I'm about ready to say. If you do not grab a hold to it, you're actually no good to me nor the kingdom. Now, I'm beginning to see why the church is no good. I got to ask you all a question. Please, let's be honest by a show of hands. How many of y'all in here has allowed somebody in church to stop you from going to church? Everybody else that didn't raise your hand one way or the other? Yes, you have. It's even if it's for one Sunday, even if you came to church and you avoided being in church, they still stop you from getting to God. They got you upset. They got you at a place where you thought about them all service and you didn't receive what you were supposed to receive, nor was you used for God's glory. To a place where you like, man, I don't want to be here. Hey. Any of y'all ever been that way? It's never about God. That it was the reason why you was. None of y'all have ever got mad at God by himself. But it's the way God allowed people to frustrate and anger you that caused you to get upset. I made it up in my mind. And I make this declaration to every soul in here. If this ministry is not where you're supposed to be, do not stop coming to church. How many pastors say that? I don't care about membership. I care about souls. But the problem that we all have that we do not understand, that every individual in here have issues that they're going through internally that you don't know about. If we all was perfect, we wouldn't need church. So we have to learn how to coexist together in one body. I feel like preaching this thing today. So how do we obtain a unity of one body with a whole bunch of misfits? That's the difficult part about church. Because if we was a club, we set rules and regulations up. And you either follow these rules and regulations or you kicked out. In church, we got rules and regulations up. If you don't follow them, you still have to attend church. So we have no authority to throw you out. The scripture clearly tell me that if the more issues you have, the closer I got to bring you to me.
My God.
The more I hate you, the more I got to love you. The more you mess with me and talk about me, the more I got to do for you. What kind of organization that God formed that he declared growth daily? Oh, I feel like this coming. I ain't even hit my notes. I ain't going there. The scripture said in Acts, with a bunch of misfits, he added to the church daily. So it's not by my own attitudes. can I or will I cause the church to grow? It's by changing my attitude, changing my mindset, changing my way of thinking that will cause me to grow. And if I grow and I work on my own self, then I become more mature, that I ain't got time for the mess. Yeah. There's one thing about riding in a plane that I love. When you got an experienced pilot that do not try to go through the turbulence. Only rookie pilots like to stay underneath or stay inside the turbulence. You'll see them say, fasten your seatbelt. We going over this. Look at somebody say, the turbulence inside church will always be there. How you go through them turbulence is totally up to you. You can rock it and deal with it, or you can rise up over it. And how you rise is the scripture clearly declares unto me. If I submit him praises up, the blessings come down. And if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. So all I gotta do in the midst of all of y'all talking about me is to give him glory. And I come out of the realm of you talking about me and me worrying about what you're saying about me to being closer to God. Yeah. So I'm at a place right now in God that every time somebody say something about me, I look for the opportunity for me to soar higher. Whoop. This God's way of showing me that my attitude is too low, that everything around me is affecting my ride to glory. Glenn, you gotta take it up a notch. So I'm telling everybody at the city, fasten your seatbelt. Put your tray in the upright position. It's time to go higher in God. As a pilot of this 747, we going higher. So if you want to act foolish, you need to get off the plane, because I ain't got time for that. Yeah, I want to be closer with God. I'm not worrying about the man sitting next to me no more. I need to be closer with God. And every time you act foolish, it's God's way of telling me that I done dropped down a little bit. And every time you talk about me, it's God's way of showing me that I'm in turbulence. It's time to buckle up and go a little higher. Look at your neighbor and tell them, rise up out of your mess. You better than what you're going through. Ain't nobody talking about you that ain't talking about me. So I got to the place, Mama and Gladys, that I was saying, God, remove them folks. What a foolish prayer. What kind of audacity do I have to ask him to remove my foot? And I think that I'm going to be better. Tell me somebody with one leg that is better than a man with two. But yet we want them removed from church so we can enjoy the moment. Not thinking about the long-term effect of us hopping around. Foolish. Because somebody that we need, just because they did something stupid and stepped on a nail, because they was hard-headed when God told them, stop running outside with no shoes on. And just because a little gangrene set in, we ready to remove them. But there's a scripture to say, is there a bomb in? If he knew that I was going to step on a nail, before I stepped on a nail, and he still allowed me to step on a nail, then he had made me a bomb already for my situation. Is there a bomb in Gilead? If you know that God has already made a way out before you get in there, and you was hard-headed while you was in there, and you faltered, you got to understand that if he is God, which he say he is, and he knows everything, which he do, he already knew you was going to mess up. He already done made you a way of escape. Way of thinking is our number one reason why we are faulted to be in one body. Functioning together is how we perceive the situation, how we judge others in the situation, and how we are failure to make the proper decision of the situation is the number one reason why church are failing today. I'm going to say this to all visitors. If you judge us, then fine. I gave you a list of churches you can go to that you think may be perfect. In a year time, you'll be back. It hurt my heart, and it was co-signed this morning in my spirit. And they thought they was butchering my message, but they were just confirming what God wanted me to say. New Year's Eve service, I left the place so vexed in my heart, so heavy laden, because I really got to see something in the ministry that was hurting me. You have a crew here, you have a crew here, you have a crew there. I really don't comprehend why we in churches want to gravitate to the same that is like us. Because the ones that like us can't help us. Because they got the same weaknesses that you have and the same strengths that you have. They can't help you when you're going through. Because the way they're going to do it is the same way that you was thinking about doing it. And both of y'all are going to end up doing it the same way and failing. But we don't gravitate to people that are different than us. Because they don't think like we think. And the reason why they don't think like you think, because God didn't create them to think like you. Because they are made to be stronger in areas that you're weaker. Because we one body. Everybody in here needs somebody to tell them that they stink. Everybody in here needs somebody to tell them that you ain't as cute as you think you are, baby. Somebody need to be told that, yeah, you don't look good in them jeans. And Spanx are not covering up what you think they're covering up. So, yes, you're not a size 5, you're a size 15. So how about putting it in the right order? But we don't want them folks in our lives. Because our way of thinking that we like to gravitate to people that's doing the same thing that we are. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching today. So now, if I don't think like you think, now you're going to get with your click crew and talk about the way I think. Because the area that I'm strong in, you see and you realize and point out the area that I'm weak in, that's what you say. So now churches are dying because of your way of thinking. We have to change our thinking. I believe that everything and all of our blessings are orchestrated by God based on how we think. I believe, don't get me wrong, I got scripture to back it up. I'm going to get to the scripture. I believe that God do not allow anything to be done in this earthly realm just by you being you. I think everything is based on this earthly realm upon the power of your thinking. Y'all have to remember, he left man in charge down here. He cannot function on this earthly realm through the spiritual only. He left man in charge. That's why when he came in the form of a man, he had to die on the cross in the form of a man. He had to be buried like a man. Then he had to stand before Satan and say, I ain't the man you thought that I was. I am a spirit being inside of man that had conformed mankind over underneath of the spiritual movement, that heaven falls underneath of mankind. But if mankind can follow heaven, then man can resurrect up. So now we are basing our whole salvational walk that I have to redeem the fleshly man inside of me and change my way of thinking from a worldly thinking unto a heavenly or a spiritual thinking in order to survive. But yet, every time I do the things that I do, I crucify the flesh all over again by just my thinking like a man. So, he has set formed us his way of doing it and mankind's way of doing it. And every time that we respond to a situation like mankind would do it, we crucify him afresh or say that his way is not the right way. Hallelujah. Then you wonder why he's not in church? Because church is not in him. Let the same mind be in you. So now our thinking is off because we thinking like mankind or the world. Yes. When situation occurs in the world, our number one thing that we want to do is find out who's at fault. Do y'all know how many millions and millions of dollars is spent every year? Oh, let me retract it. How many billions and billions? Well, let me retract. How many trillions of dollars is spent in the United States every year to try to find out who to blame for certain things? From corporate to law? When we are not trying to fix the problem? God's way of thinking is let's fix it. We're all the same. Let's just fix it. Our way of thinking in church have to change. He said, I beseech you, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service, that I be not conformed to. Oh, y'all thought I didn't have scripture to back up what I was going to say? But be transformed by what? Changing your thinking. So now, whenever something come up, instead of me acting foolish, it's an opportunity for me to be blessed. So if you talk about me, instead of me getting mad at you, if I do what the scripture blueprint say, love you anyhow, I'm going to be. Instead of gravitating to folks that just like me, if I gravitate to those that are not. But the problem is, it's not the normal mindset of every individual in here. It takes us changing our thinking. I know y'all mad now, ain't you? That ye may be, oh, God. Come on, y'all, read this with me. That ye may, hold on. Do y'all know this word prove mean that's a challenge and you, somebody somewhere in the scripture is saying that I need to prove that this theory works. Do you know every time you're in a situation or circumstance that you declare as being hard, that God's trying to prove that you can work it? Who is he trying to prove it to? Not only to the devil, but to every individual that don't believe in him. Even to church folks that don't believe in him. Even to the weak and feeble that is not succeeding in the area that you are about ready to succeed. And you are still proving to pastor that you are with God. So the proving factor is what he's trying to do in your life. So he placed you into the situation so you can prove him. Read on. Good God Almighty. Prove that is good. Look at somebody saying it's good. Acceptable. Oh my God. And perfect will of God. So it is God's perfect will for you to go through and have junk in your life and coming through that and being better. I'm going to express something to everybody. No, I'm going to pick this row. Yeah, I pick this row. Y'all look good to me. All that junk that y'all done been through up till today has already been accepted by God. He already knew it. He already done set things in order. He placed an advocate in your life that's going to stand before the Father and say, I got them on this one. Don't worry about this. I'm trying to teach them something. Don't worry about it. I got this. Watch at the end. They're going to learn from their mistakes, and one day they're going to wake up and say, I got it. But only us as church folks will put a magnifying glass on people's shortcomings and faults. When God is trying to use it as a teaching lesson to teach them that if I'm there with you when you wasn't with me, and if I still love you when you didn't love me, when you get yourself together, how much more am I going to do with you and for you? So now I'm beginning to understand why church folks are failing. Because all of this stuff is coupled inside your life. Now your mind is not thinking correctly. Now you are walking around with a defeated mentality instead of victorious mentality. Because of everybody else that came in your life started judging you, you looking for folks to judge you. Woo, I'm almost finished today, so give me about 5 minutes. I had to deal with the folks, now I'm going to deal internally with you. I can comprehend this. You ready for this, Mike? God would send me through the ringer for a week, mess with me all night long sometimes, and come in the morning and tell me to tell you something, and then you think I'm talking about you. Stop. Wait a minute. Hold up, Pastor. Let me express this to you. Nobody know what you did 3 nights ago from 11:15 to 11:35 except for you and God. If you guilty of what you done, don't blame it on somebody else because you think that they overheard your conversation and told me. Then you got an attitude. Because now you think somebody done look through your phone. Now you got an attitude. Because you confided in Sister Tanya. And Sister Tanya ain't said a word. Holding your problems to her heart. Laying up all night long praying for you. Fasting with you. Loving you. And you think she ran and told Lady Marguerite. And Lady Marguerite ran and told me because God using me to tell you the way out of your problem. Then you got art with her and she ain't even done nothing. That ain't the problem. You is not man or woman enough to go to her and talk to her about it. That's the problem. Walk around with attitudes. Now she's hurting in her heart. All she done, now you won't even talk with her. But yet she hears it through the grapevine. You saying something that she told you that she done 5 years ago. Hallelujah. Our ways of thinking is destroying the body of Christ. Baby. It's not about you at that level that you wanted to be about you. Trust me. Let me express to you what I did yesterday, okay? Woke up, came to church, take doors at 8 o'clock to praise dance, try to get a little work done, went home, fixed breakfast, came right back out to church while they was doing praise and worship and messed up the sound system a couple times. They got mad at me. I had to leave out. Went back there and worked on plans until 8:30, work, go home with dinner. I don't got time to put you in my schedule to talk about you. Do I got a whoop, whoop? So stop thinking that we all do. Now let me say this part before in my closing. There is a few people in here that do have that time because they don't come to church. They don't study their word. They don't sing on any praise team, do no food bank work. They don't have jobs, and they do. They have media jobs where they can stay and talk on the phone all day long. So they got time enough to talk about you. But if you're going to base your salvation walk on busybodies and other men's matters, then you just as bad as they are. I have learned that those folks need to be in church. Look at somebody say, because they the noise and pestilence that causes you to go higher in God. They are the turbulence that make you buckle up and rise above them and get closer to God. The problem is, you too busy getting upset and frustrated by them instead of walking up to them and saying, thank you, baby.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Why are you going to do that, Pastor? The scripture clearly says that you will have enemies in church. And, but he also said in the scripture that he makes your enemies your footstool. And let me express to all of y'all don't know what a footstool is. Footstool are for short people who cannot reach things on the top shelf. Hold up. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me go to y'all that has been at the club and drink. All the cheap liquor is on the regular shelf. All the expensive liquor is on the... And the reason why it's on the top shelf is because not too many people can afford to get up the shelf. They can't afford that which is on the top shelf. Also, don't want to put it down at the regular because something may happen and it may fall and break. So that which is precious is kept on the top shelf. And if you learn how to use folks in your life that are noisy and pestilent, you'll be able to receive blessings of God that normal folks don't receive. You'll be able to receive top shelf blessings. So the next time somebody come in your life to talk about you, you better be jumping up, saying strong, and dancing. Why? I'm about ready to get a top shelf blessing. Yeah. I'm about ready to receive something that normal people cannot receive. Now, how you act when they come to you determine whether the footstool is placed in your life or you still gonna try to jump. I'm away from the hope creed. I want the declaration of the blessings of God in my life. Those that he has declared to be done. stop getting upset with folks that God has allowed to come in your life to talk about you so you can receive the next level of blessing. Love them. Be kind and gentle to them. Guess what happened? You'll see them crawling on all knees, begging and pleading for God, and God say, step on them, step on them. Okay, Lord. Ooh, I wanted that. Listen, you ain't have to change our way of thinking. Finally, in my closing, I said it before and I say it again. You have to go to a place of worship where you are comfortable. There's no more, this is my mama, daddy, brother, sister, church. You got, who said that? It's my church. It's got to be yours. Because the number one reason why you need to attend a church, because once you attend a church, you're a part of that body. So now you can reap the benefits of the body blessings. That's all of us working together. Now, will things occur? Yes. How many of y'all have broke a bone in your body? Things are strong. Put them high. Come on here. I done broke 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Shot right here. 12. But guess what? The reason why I'm telling y'all this, I went to 4 to 6 weeks of pain and anguish, but I didn't think about removing none of the parts out of my body. We all gonna go through shortcomings. Somebody gonna falter inside the city. Somebody gonna talk about you, but you can't discard them just because that occurred. The scripture clearly tells you, say, if you got an ought against your brother. Tell you about a dream that started all of this in me. I had a dream. We was in a bigger facility. It was nice, y'all. It was nice. It was nice. And we was having a 4 o'clock service, and a buddy of mine's, I ain't gonna use no names or nothing in this whole dream, came to me and say, hey, G, I gotta talk to you. I said, what you doing here, doc? He said, oh, I'm here because I need to pre-warn you. There were some folks that come in here to have a meeting with you to talk to you about an ex-member of you up in the church that now is hurt by something that you did to somebody else. So, just like that, all right? So I said, all right. And so all these folks who was here, there was husbands of the situation. There was all these folks, a couple of them attended the ministry. No, it was only one of them attended the ministry. All the rest of them had no parts in this ministry, was going to other ministries. So I says just like this, all of y'all is in a such and such case, come on, just like you're doing a judge, you know, I mean, in a courtroom. Any of y'all been to courtroom or not? Those are the courtroom folks. So all in the case of, well, come on to my office. So I got in my office and it was packed. So everybody kept on talking and rambling around a bush. And y'all know me, I have very low tolerance for people that want to talk around bushes. I said, all right, why all of y'all in here? I ain't got time to fool with y'all. What y'all got to say? So, well, go ahead and say it. Well, so I'm going to put you in it because you was in the dream. They come to say, they come to talk about my sister. Said something about me. Y'all ready? 3 years ago. I didn't know you 3 years ago, so. I stopped them. I said, I'm gonna express something to all of y'all right here. I ain't got nothing to do with none of y'all except for her. Y'all not gonna butcher somebody that God told me to cover. I said, furthermore, every last one of y'all in here have did something to somebody else. I'm not even going to dignify a response to you because God's telling me to tell every last one of y'all, y'all are wrong. Because not one of y'all seen the scripture that says if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, your number one job is to restore your brother. So not one of y'all in here ever came up to me and asked me whether it was true or not. So I'm not even going to dignify whether it's true or not. And I don't even know, I don't care what she said. That's my sister. They looked at me dumbfounded. I said, excuse me, I have a service that I got to attend. Y'all are more than welcome to stay in here and talk among each other. We gone. We got up and left out. God told me the dream. That's what's happening inside church. People are so concerned about wasting time putting on witch hunt. And I was caught up in it so badly that I forgot my agenda was to have church. So now you got people that are thrown underneath a bus and come to find out she ain't had nothing to do with it. And what they was accusing me of was nowhere near true. So we too busy trying to defend whether it was right or wrong instead of just paying in no mind and let them go ahead and have their little meeting and let them do what they want to do. You go have church and please God. That's my sister. It wasn't my minister. That was my what? Sister. That's my sister. Me and her got up and went to see Jesus. Let the junk lie where it lies. I ain't trying to take the junk with me. I ain't care about them being in my office. All I wanted to be what? Next to Jesus. The status quo of us have to be a certain way to impress people is no longer allowed in the next movement of God. The only thing that God is looking for is us to get close to him. Because he don't look on the outer appearance, but God looketh upon the. Your days of trying to defend what you have done, whether it's true or wasn't true, it doesn't even matter. It's a waste of your time. Our job is to love God and be about God. By a show of those that stand on the feet. Don't get up unless you mean it, because it's a declaration that's going to be said inside your spiritual, in your spirit today. By those that stand on the feet, I want to see, and God want to see, who has made up their mind to change their way of thinking today. To be one body working together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you can't get up, just raise your hand strong. I don't care. Seriously, y'all, I don't care. I really don't. Only thing I care for is your soul. I don't care about the mess no more. I don't even want to know your business at the level. If God doesn't show it to me, then I feel like this. He don't want me to know. I just care about your soul.
Father God, we'd like to thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to just be here, to hear your word, to gain revelation, to understand that which you need us to have to be successful Christians into your walk, continuing to look over and guide us and lead us into our future that we may obtain the destiny that you have purpose into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.